What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I am back and refreshed from vacation. I went to Disneyland for the most part. I did go to Southern California, but for the most part, it was all about Disneyland, which I absolutely love. But of course, checked out some of the legal weed, and then I actually stayed at the Chateau Marmont as well. Kind of pissed off because if you check out entertainment news, Britney Spears kind of had something go on at the Chateau Marmont, and I'm kind of pissed off because it happened the day after I fucking left. Why couldn't you have lost your shit a couple days beforehand? Would have been cool to me. But anyways, also of note, unexpectedly, I got to go to Game 5 of the first round playoff matchup between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. It was my first time ever seeing a game at Staples Center. And yes, I'm always going to refer to it as Staples Center. It doesn't matter if it's called Crypto.com Arena. That is a terrible name. It is Staples. So it's the first time I ever got to see the Lakers play at home. I got to see them win the game, which was fucking awesome. But of course, they promptly lost the rest of the series and went home the following game. But hey, I got to at least see the one game that they won in the series. But most importantly, I got to see the Kobe statue, of course. You know, I that was the first thing I ran up to. I only got to take a picture from the side of it because the front of it, there was way too many people there. And hey, I wanted to go in and watch the game as well because we paid quite a bit to see that game. But it's fucking fantastic. Great arena. We could see everything. We were up in the nosebleeds, of course, because like I said, it was a total last minute just, hey, you want to go to the Lakers game type deal, and we just happened to have it work out, but hey, we had midcourt all the way up at the top, basically, but it was a fun game. It was awesome to see them absolutely dominate. But in other Lakers news, after their exit from the playoffs, in unsurprising fashion, they fired their coach, Darvin Ham. Not shocked at all, you could tell. You know, last year it was kind of questionable whether or not the players respected him. Well, this year it was not questionable at all. As a matter of fact, Anthony Davis called him out multiple times through the media. LeBron kind of did, not as much as Anthony Davis did. But you could just tell the majority of the players really were not feeling Darvin Ham. And with, you know, the two years in a row, they did go to the Western Conference Finals last year, which was quite surprising. But this year, an immediate exit and only got one win. And it just really wasn't shocking because none of the players really respected him. So we'll see what the Lakers are able to do with the coaching position as the offseason rolls on. But while the Lakers are at home, we have some more playoffs to discuss. The NBA conference semifinals matchups are all set. So let's begin with the Western Conference. The first matchup we already have had game one, which was Saturday. Yeah, at this rate, it's kind of hard for me to keep up with what day of the week it is. But I believe it was Saturday we had game one. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, they played a fantastic game. It was back and forth for the most part, but, you know, Minnesota pretty much had the lead for the majority of this game. They got the win 106-99. Anthony Edwards had a phenomenal game. He dropped 43 points. And then, of course, Jokic dropped 32 points as well. It just really was just a top-notch game from the Minnesota Timberwolves, and that's all I got to say about that. And then game two is tonight in Denver. And then as far as the series goes between Minnesota and Denver, I'm leaning towards Denver in this one. While I really like what I'm seeing from the Timberwolves, I mean, offensively and defensively, and they just absolutely dominate the paint. And they're also rivals. I mean, these are two division rivals who have played against each other all season long. So they know each other really well. It's just, to me, I feel like the Denver Nuggets have more experience. They have a deeper bench. And when it comes down to it, I feel like the team that makes the least amount of mistakes is definitely going to be the winner in this one. And I feel like Denver will do that, even though they lost game one. But I didn't expect them to sweep on through this series. As a matter of fact, I have Denver winning this series in six games. And like I said, game two is tonight in Denver. And then the second matchup in the Western Conference semifinals, we have the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Dallas Mavericks. Both of these teams have been two of the biggest surprises throughout the entire season. I mean, Oklahoma City has played the most consistent basketball. They are the number one seed for a reason because they've been the top-notch number one team all year. They haven't even had a point where they've really fallen off. And they just play really well together. They're young and scrappy. And the Dallas Mavericks are pretty much the same. They do have a little bit more veteran presence, especially with the way Kyrie Irving is actually playing this year instead of, being a cancer to his team. He's actually really stepped it up. He's kept his mouth shut, and he has just come to work. And he's shown that on the court, he is a beast. And I kind of feel like he's going to be the X factor in this matchup. Because he has made the big shots in the playoffs before. It's just it was a long-ass time ago, and ever since then, he's pretty much been a cancer to every team he's gone to. But the Mavericks this year, he really has stepped it up, and I feel like there's going to be a game or two where it comes down to him, and he's going to end up making the big shot and sending Oklahoma City home. And then, of course, you have Luka Doncic, who is playing at an MVP level, has the potential to absolutely win the MVP this year. He's carried this team. He's finally really come into his own, and he's just really dominating at such a crazy level that you look at a player like him, and it's the postseason, and he's supposed to step it up and be that dude. And I feel like the Mavericks are going to do that in this matchup, not only because I think their experience is going to play a part in this one, because, you know, Oklahoma City is very young. They have pretty much no experience in the postseason. But I just feel like the Mavericks have the best player in the league. Then you have Kyrie, who's his Robin, his second man, who really is stepping it up. And he's had a phenomenal season, and he's got the postseason experience. And I feel like he's going to play a huge part in this. And I've got the Dallas Mavericks winning the conference semifinals over the Oklahoma City Thunder in seven games. I do expect it to be a battle because I think both of these teams match up very well against each other. It's just, to me, the Mavericks' experience and just having Luka Doncic, the best player in the league, or one of the best players in the league, be on your team, and just the level that he's playing, I got the Mavericks winning this one in seven. And then, of course, game one begins in this series tomorrow on Tuesday night. Then moving over to the Eastern Conference semifinals, first matchup we have is the Indiana Pacers versus the New York Knicks. Defensively, the Knicks are the best team in the league. They are going to be a difficult team for anybody to score on. The Pacers, that is what they ride on. They ride on their offense. They do have some presence in the paint, look really solid there, but I don't think they're going to match up really well against what the Knicks have defensively. I don't expect the Pacers to roll over because they have been a really solid team this year, but so have the Knicks. And Jalen Brunson, he's been playing at an MVP level, and he's just been carrying this New York Knicks team, and they've had to overcome injury after injury after injury, and yet there they are, still one of the top teams in the league. And like I said, they play defense, and that wins championships. There is a reason why you still play defense. There is a reason why they say defense wins championships, because you got to score on that defense. And the Knicks are so difficult to score on. And I just think they're going to get in the Pacers' head. They're just going to be too scrappy for them. And I've got the Knicks winning this series in six games. And then game one is tonight in New York. And then the second matchup we have in the Eastern Conference semifinals, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Boston Celtics. The Celtics just ran through in the first round, and the Cleveland Cavaliers were pushed to the brink. As a matter of fact, the Cavaliers are pretty much lucky to be here. And with that being said, I don't think they have a shot against Boston. Boston has been flying high all season. They flew through the regular season. They just trucked on through the first round of the playoffs, and I just kind of expect them to do that same thing in this round. They are the much better team than the Cavaliers. And while I expect the Cavaliers to make it a decent matchup, I still think Boston's going to do what Boston does, and that is roll on through. And I've got Boston winning this one easily in five games, and game one for them is tomorrow night. Tuesday night in the Eastern Conference semifinals. So those are the matchups we have right now in the NBA Conference semifinals. And like I said, we've got game two tonight between Denver and Minnesota, and then game one between Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks. And it should be we should have some good matchups there, other than the Boston-Cleveland one. Maybe Cleveland will step it up, but just the way they've been playing, they have not played at any level of consistency in any way, shape, or form. And that's not what you want to be playing. That type of basketball is not the way you want to be playing going up against the Boston Celtics. All right, now let's move on to baseball and the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. And now that we are about a month into the season, we have finally separated some real contenders against the pretenders. Some teams have really fallen out of the top 10. As a matter of fact, the Atlanta Braves are one of those teams. They are not anywhere in my top 10 this week. Just because the injuries, you could tell, are starting to bother them. But also at the same time, the Braves do sometimes start the season off slow and then get hot as the season rolls on. So I'm not really worried about them, but I am just letting y'all know they are not in the top 10 this week. And I was kind of shocked that I was unable to get them in there just because there are a bunch of other teams that are playing much better than them right now. So let's start off with number one. The team I did not expect to be number one just yet, but this team has been one of the hottest teams in the league for now three seasons. That is the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 24-11. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games. They're currently on a 5-game winning streak, but they're actually technically on a 6-game winning streak just because they just kicked the shit out of my San Francisco Giants yet again. The game just ended about an hour ago. So, they took the series against the Giants this week, and then they also took the series against the Los Angeles Angels earlier in the week. And, you know, the Phillies are just really good at every position. They're playing, they're having zero issues scoring runs. Their pitching is right now probably the best starting pitching in the league. They have a fantastic closer. They're great defensively. At this current point in time, there are zero weaknesses with the Philadelphia Phillies. And, you know, this team is 2 years removed from losing the World Series. Last year, they made a nice, solid playoff run, had a really good regular season, and here they are this year. This is looking like a World Series team already, and I hesitate to say that because it's only May, but they look damn good. Alec Bohm, he is having a fantastic year right now. He's on an 18-game hitting streak. He's batting a .360, which is, I believe, second in the league right now for batting average. So he's batting .360, 32 RBIs, and just smashing it. And then you have Suarez, who's been their ace, which says a lot because they have some amazing pitchers. But Suarez has 6 wins on the season with a 1.72 ERA and 46 strikeouts. And like I said, there is not one weakness on this Phillies team, at least so far. And then you've got Bryce Harper. He came up to bat just, I think it was last night, Sunday, yeah. Came right up to bat and just smashed a home run and just put the Phillies up above my Giants way. I think it was like 4-1 at that point. And they just are having zero issues scoring. They are playing great defense, and their starting pitching is just tops in the league. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 23-13. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they are also on a 4-game winning streak. They just swept the Atlanta Braves over the weekend, and then they took out the Arizona Diamondbacks earlier in the week. Shohei Ohtani is, he's proven his worth with that money that they paid for him. He's batting .364 right now, which leads the league. He's got 10 home runs, just crushed 2 yesterday against the Braves, and then he has 25 RBI on the season, and it's just really, like I said, paying off, and it's going to be interesting if he ever gets back to pitching, but right now, the hitting, he has not taken a step back. As a matter of fact, he looks better than ever, and he's just crushing it. And then their other major pickup in the offseason was Tyler Glasnow, the starting pitcher, and this guy is pitching lights out. He's got 6 wins on the season with a 2.70 ERA, which is the lowest ERA in the league right now. His 6 wins is the most, tied for the most in the league right now. And 2.70 ERA and then 63 strikeouts. And he's just really been absolutely the definition of lights out. So both of the two offseason pickups for the Dodgers has absolutely paid off with Ohtani and Glasnow starting the season off red hot. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings is the Baltimore Orioles. Overall record of 23-11. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They are also on a 4-game winning streak. This past weekend, they took a series against the Cincinnati Reds, and then earlier in the week took a series against the New York Yankees. You've got their Gunnar Henderson, their young dude here. He's batting a .274 with 10 home runs, which is tied for the league lead, and 24 RBI, and he's just been the level of consistency, but he's not it, man. This lineup for the Orioles, I'm not shocked at how well they are hitting, But they are just getting better as the season rolls on. And then you have Corbin Burnes, their big pickup in the offseason for the starting pitching position. He's got 4 wins on the year with a 2.61 ERA and 41 strikeouts, and he's just been money every time he takes the mound. Then at number 4 in my top 10 MLB power rankings at the New York Yankees, overall record of 23-13. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Detroit Tigers, but lost the series against the Baltimore Orioles. And then speaking of offseason pickups, them trading for Juan Soto, he's pretty much been all their offense. It would be kind of shocking to see where the Yankees would be without Soto this season, because even Aaron Judge has been struggling. He has yet to really hit his stride. I expect him to, but it hasn't happened just yet. But Soto, he's batting a 316 with 8 home runs and 28 RBI, so he's really paid off. And then the Yankees starting pitching is probably second to me to the Phillies. I think this Phillies starting pitching is tops in the league right now. But the Yankees starting pitching is really, really holding it down. And this is without Gerrit Cole, who should be back in about a month or two. So if they keep this up and then they get Cole back, and if he happens to come back and play at the level we expected to, it's going to be really difficult to score on the Yankees, even though it's been really difficult for them to get going offensively so far. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Cleveland Guardians, overall record of 22-12. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, but this team has a lot of heart, and it's actually kind of shocking to me how well they are doing, because they have so many injuries to some of their top-tier players, but yet they've been able to overcome it, have no issues scoring any runs, and they're starting pitching. While they sometimes can get blown up, they still are holding it down. This past week, they took the series against the Los Angeles Angels and lost the series to the Houston Astros, but it's really been all about Bo Naylor this year. This guy is just crushing it. He's batting the 271 with 8 home runs and 26 RBI, and it's just been all about him offensively. But as a team, the Cleveland Guardians are just playing some amazing team baseball right now. It's going to be interesting to see if they're able to maintain that level of consistency throughout the season. But so far, they've really been able to overcome some of the terrible injuries that they've suffered to their starting pitching lineup. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Minnesota Twins, overall record of 19-14. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games. This last week, they took the series against the Boston Red Sox and the Chicago White Sox. They were just on a 12-game winning streak. It just got busted over the weekend. But this has been one of the hottest teams in the league, which is kind of shocking because I didn't really know what to expect from this Twins team. They've really actually just been holding it down and playing excellent team baseball. They got Ryan Jeffers, who's been pretty much a huge source of offense for them, batting a 291 with 6 home runs and 22 RBI. I don't know if the Twins are going to be able to maintain this, especially with the way the Guardians are playing. If I have to take my pick between the two of them, I'm going to take the Guardians, just because I feel like, you know, they've been here and they have a team that I feel is much more consistent over the Twins. But if the Twins are able to keep this up, they're going to be a difficult team to beat, especially in this weak division for them. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Seattle Mariners, overall record of 19-15. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Houston Astros and the Atlanta Braves, and they just are really getting it done in many different ways. Starting pitcher Logan Gilbert is having a fantastic year. He's got 3 wins on the season with a 1.69 ERA and 50 strikeouts. The guy has just been money when it comes to striking guys out. The Mariners have always been a weird team to me. They're always up, they're always down, but you can't count them out, and they just always tend to play teams well. You know, they did, like I said, they took out the Astros and the Braves, so it's not like they're beating up loser teams. They're beating up really good teams, and you just never know what you're going to get from them, but right now, they are playing really good baseball. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Texas Rangers, overall record of 19-16. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Kansas City Royals and the Washington Nationals. Adolis Garcia is just doing what he do, batting a 286 with 8 home runs, 27 RBI. He is tops with his bat right now on this team. But they've been struggling with the starting pitchers. They have not been what they were last year, at least. But Dane Dunning, he has been pretty much their most consistent starting pitcher. He's got 3 wins on the season with a 4.10 ERA and 43 strikeouts. So right now, he's their best guy. Even Yovaldi, he's been battling through his injuries. Max back yet. They haven't got him back from injury. So, it's kind of trying right now for the Rangers. But then again, they won the World Series last year, and it was a bumpy road for them. But we'll see what they're able to do as the rest of the season wears on. But the starting pitching has been kind of an issue for them. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 20-13. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They did lose a series to the Chicago Cubs over the weekend and took the series against the Tampa Bay Rays earlier in the week. And Contreras has just been lights out for them. He has been scoring a lot of runs for them. He's batting a .336 with 5 home runs and 27 RBI on the season. And the Brewers have kind of taken a little step back with the injury to Christian Yelich. He definitely was looking really hot until he was injured, but that's kind of taking them a step back. But I mean, still, this Brewers team is really solid, and I really feel like you kind of got to watch out for them as the season wears on. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 21-14. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This week they took the series against the Milwaukee Brewers and also the series against the New York Mets. And, man, it's really all about their starting pitcher, Shota Imanaga. He has 5 wins on the season, 35 strikeouts, and a .78 ERA. The guy just cannot be scored on. He has been their dude. They've been getting a lot of offense. Unfortunately, Cody Bellinger, he's been on the injured list the last week or so. But without him, they actually have not done terribly. So the Cubs, I feel like you really don't know what you're going to get from them. Are they going to be a consistent team throughout the year? I don't know. But they are getting Justin Steele back this week. So we'll see if that shapes their starting pitching out, because Steele had a phenomenal year last year, kind of like what Imanaga is doing this year. You kind of put those two guys together at the starting pitching position. You get Bellinger back here pretty soon, and the Cubs could be looking like a really, really good team as the season wears on. So that is the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. Remember, if you are into gambling at all, you could go to my official website, katytrop.net. Hit the Sports Talk with Trop tab, and right at the top of that page, you will see Sports Talk with Trop's preferred sports books. You can just click on that, and you will see a selection of sports books that I am affiliated with. You could sign up for those and gamble your money away if you choose to do so. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.